The scripture reference or the words on the screen is I want to people to get into the habit of bringing their Bibles to church. Bring your Bible, bring the Word of God, and read the Word of God. And if you don't have one, we've got some Bibles. Actually, we need to bring them down. They're upstairs. But we'd love to study the Word of God together. So it's Joshua 1, verse 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. As I said, last week we started our series on Joshua, and we looked at the preparation of Joshua, how God took him through a series of events that just snippets in the scripture that we looked at in Exodus and Numbers, and the preparation of Joshua, how God gave him a boldness, how God gave him faith, how he was a man of prayer, how he was obedient, he was selfless. And we look at all these things and we see, well, God is obviously preparing him for something big. Well, we know the end of the story, but through his life, he was being prepared. But today I want to look at something, or I want to look at the commissioning of Joshua. And my goal is today is not to just give a history lesson and an explanation of the commissioning of Joshua, but really to show you that the way the Lord commissioned Joshua still applies to us today. The word of the Lord to Joshua still applies to us today as the Lord commissions us, as the Lord asks us to be strong and courageous. But the process of the commissioning took place in three phases. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 7 and 8, we read, Moses called all the people of Israel together, and he commissioned Joshua in front of everybody else. It was on a public stage. It was in front of everybody. We read in Deuteronomy 31, verse 7 and 8, Moses saying, be strong and courageous. Listen to these words. This is Deuteronomy 31. This is not Joshua 1, 1 to 9. He says, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. Excuse me. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. That was Moses speaking to Joshua. So this was the commissioning of Moses. Commissioning of Joshua by Moses. It was the recognition of man. It was man commissioning him. But then we've got a more important commissioning that takes place. A more important one, it is God's commissioning of Joshua. And further on in Deuteronomy 31, we read that God called Moses and Joshua together into the tent of meeting. Remember, that's the place that Moses had set up where they could pray and they could meet with God. It was also a place that Joshua spent a lot of time. It was a very important part of Joshua's preparation was the tent of meeting. And we read there, the Lord said to Moses, now the day of your death is near. Call Joshua and present yourselves at the tent of meeting where I will commission him. So Moses and Joshua came and presented themselves at the tent of meeting. Then the Lord appeared at the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the cloud stood over the entrance of the tent. I remember from last week that that is what would happen every time Moses would go into the tent of meeting. But God speaks to Moses in the verses that follow that in Deuteronomy 31. And it's a fascinating account there in Deuteronomy 31. We don't have time to get it in today, but I'd love for you to take that home, read it, study it, what God says to Moses. But in verse 23, we read, "The Lord gave this command to Joshua, son of Nun, 'Be strong and courageous, for you will bring the Israelites into the land I promised them on oath, and I myself will be with you.'" There again, we read the commissioning of Joshua. Moses appointed him, but God commissioned him. And then again in Joshua 1:1-9, we see it's almost a duplicate of what was being said in Deuteronomy 31. But God gives more detail. God gives more encouragement. And we'll look at that a little bit further. You'll notice that three times in Joshua 1, verse 7-9 actually, three times God says, "Be strong and courageous." And we're going to talk about that in a little while. But at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses died. He was 120 years old. And the Bible says he was still fit and healthy. He still had his eyesight. And the Lord took him home. The Lord took him to be with him. And so after a period of 30 days of mourning, the children of Israel mourned the loss of Moses. The Lord then commissioned Joshua. But there's a few things to notice in this succession. The succession, this change of leadership that took place. This was the nation of Israel, a large nation. The first thing to notice that the change in leadership, the appointing of Joshua was public. It was for all to see. Everybody knew. Nobody said, "Well, maybe it's someone else. Are we sure it's Joshua? Maybe it's someone else." No, it was public. It was open for all to see, and there was no doubt about it. Moses appointed him. God confirmed him. This must have really helped Joshua because he probably needed a boost of confidence. The task of taking over from Moses must have been a huge and daunting task. But we know Joshua was courageous. He was bold. But another very important thing to notice is Joshua didn't promote himself. Joshua never stood up. We don't read of him standing up and say, "Hey, I'm the guy. I'm the one. Look at me. Appoint me." No. Joshua at this time was about 80 years old, and he probably was looking around saying, "I'm sure there's someone else who's better equipped, maybe someone else who's stronger, someone else who could do this job, maybe someone who was a teenager when we left Egypt." But no, God appointed Joshua. Joshua didn't appoint himself. Joshua didn't stand up and say, "I'm the guy." And that today it's tragic we see young leaders trying to self-promote themselves. It's terrible when we see that. It leaves a bad taste in one's mouth. But unfortunately, our schools, our education systems tell people, "You've got to promote yourself because no one else is going to promote you. You've got to drive and make your name heard and make everybody know who you are." Joshua never did that. Self-promotion stems from a sin that God hates. It's called pride. Joshua never promoted himself. The other interesting thing to note was that this is a major change in the shift of the Bible. The first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, were about the children of Israel and the nation of Israel before the Promised Land. They were outside the Promised Land. So here we read Joshua, and the next eight books after Joshua talk about the children of Israel in the Promised Land. So what we had before, we had the law being written and being compiled so that the people of Israel could live in the Promised Land with the law. It was a major change that took place. And along with this change, there was a new leader that was required. It's important to notice that with a different kind of situation, a different kind of leader is needed. Moses was a certain kind of leader, a very powerful leader, a very well-trained leader. Obviously, 120 years of the last 40 years of his life leading the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land took a lot of leadership skills. But what was required now was a different kind of leader, someone that would take them into the next 40 years. Where does the Lord have them? Where would they go? And as we look at our world today, we need different kinds of leaders as well. The world that we are living in today is very different to the world that the previous generation lived in. And so what is needed is different kinds of leadership. Not leadership that is self-promoted, but leadership that is anointed by God. Leadership that is commissioned by God. It'll be recognized by man, but is commissioned by God. So let's look to see for different kinds of leaders, because the challenges that lie ahead of us are different. The challenges that we face today are different. But the word that the Lord gives to us today is the same word that he gave to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's a promise we can hold on to. But how does this apply to me? How does this apply to you? You may be asking. Because it's fascinating if you like history, but how does this apply to us? Well, remember we looked at last week how God gave Joshua a new name. Well, Moses gave him the name, but his name was Joshua, which means the one who saves. And Moses changed his name to Joshua, means the God who saves, or our God saves. You and I as Christians have undergone a name change. Along with the name change, though, comes a commissioning. So you and I take on the new name of followers of Jesus Christ, as disciples of Christ, as Christians. With that name, though, comes a commissioning. So Joshua had a name change, and he had a commissioning. What is our commissioning? Our commissioning is very simple. Jesus gave it to us before he left. We find it in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always." Sound familiar? "To the very end of the age." The Old Testament was written and inspired by God, and it's written for all generations to come. It's not the Old Testament. It's not to be just discarded and say, well, that was then. We're in the New Covenant now, the New Testament now. Let's not look at the Old Testament. No, it is inspired by God. It includes you and me. The promises that God gave in the Old Testament apply to us. Paul, in his final remarks in his first letter to the church in Corinth, writes, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong." Again, we have that, be strong and courageous. It's echoed throughout the Bible. The commissioning comes with the call to be strong and courageous. As Christians, we're called to stand firm and be strong. If you think that you're going to be able to walk the Christian life by just going with the flow and just trying to walk the middle of the road, not upsetting anybody, and just, you know, just going to get by, just go with the flow, you're going to fail miserably. You're going to be disappointed, because we are called to be salt and light. We're called to be salt and light in our generation, in our city, in our community. Along with that, though, comes the need to stand up against injustice, to stand up when things are wrong, to stand up and say, no, that's not what the Word of God says. I will not do that. That's what it called to be salt and light. That's what it truly means to be salt and light. And along with that, though, it's going to take courage. It's going to take boldness. We need to be strong and courageous. Again, so as we look at briefly at Joshua 1:1-9, we see the be strong and courageous being repeated three times, and I'm going to look at that a little bit further on. But there's first two phrases I want to look at. The first one is found in verse 7. Verse 7, we read, and it goes on, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So we remember that God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And for 40 days, God gave him the law, and it was prepared and written down. And God said, give it to Joshua. Give it to the people, because they're going to need it going forward. This was the first generation, the first time that the law was actually given to someone and said, live by it. Do not go to the left or to the right. This is your standard. Stand by the law. Sometimes sticking to what the Bible teaches goes against our natural wisdom. Sometimes doing what the Bible says or what God's saying to us seems crazy to those around us. But can you imagine, and we'll look at this in a few weeks, can you imagine the people of Jericho? How they looked at the children of Israel marching around their walls? They must have thought they were crazy. But they were obedient to God. They were doing what God called them to do. And we know the end result. We need to be obedient. We need to, when God says we need to do something, we need to do it. Now, in our day and age, that's frowned upon. Well, I'm independent. No one tells me what to do. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And again in John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If we call ourselves Christians, we need to obey what the Word of God says. Obedience. But obedience doesn't come without cost. There are trials on the way. There are difficulties along the life of obedience. There are challenges. There is opposition. But there's such compensation. God is no man's debtor. At the end of the day, we will receive a reward for being obedient. Some of the most blessed and wealthiest people are receiving their reward today, now in heaven. On earth, they were the poorest of the poor. They were those that the world frowned upon. They were those that the world discarded. But they followed the Lord, and they trusted the Lord, and they trusted Him for their future, and they are receiving their blessing. And I'm sure if any one of them could come here now, they could say, it was well worth it. Not laying aside for themselves riches here on earth, but putting riches in heaven. But secondly, we read in verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So here is the key to a life that is prosperous and successful, meditating on the Word of God. What is meditating on the Word of God? We often read about it in the Bible. People always tell you, well, you've got to meditate on the Word of God. It means not just reading it, but reading it and allowing God to speak to you as you read it. So read through a small passage, read through it again, pray it through, read it again, see what God is saying to you. It's a tragedy, you know, that in our day and age when we have the access to the most information of any other generation in all of history, we have an unbelievable amount of information at our fingertips, and yet we know less about the Bible than probably other generations that have gone before us. We don't read the Bible. We don't meditate on the Word of God. Well, when am I supposed to find time to read the Word of God? You know, I mean, I've got to update my Facebook profile three times a day. I've got to catch up on those TV shows I missed on the weekend. I've got to catch up on all that sport that I missed. And then on top of it all, I've got to make a living. So how on earth can I spend time meditating on the Word of God? I know I'm being facetious, but the truth is we have to make time to spend time in the Word of God and in prayer. It is our life source. It is vital to us. Not just reading it through it. You know, we can get into a religious monotony of just reading a portion of Scripture every day. So, you know, I'll just get up and, okay, I've got to read a chapter this morning, and I'll just read it, and I'll put my Bible down, and I'll walk away. Can't remember what I read, but I did read, so Lord, I did something today for you. That is participating in a dead religion. You've got to read and ask God to speak to you through, because this is His living Word to you. He wants to speak to you through His Word. It's not just text on a page. It is the powerful, living Word of God. Allowing it to penetrate your heart. The Word of God transforms hearts, lives. Read the Word of God. Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night." Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let us treasure the Word of God. You know, in countries where the Bible has been confiscated and banned, people truly treasured the Word of God because they realized the importance of it. And unfortunately, because we are so blessed that we can have free access to the Word of God, we don't take it that seriously. Well, I can go and get another one. I can read it anytime I want. Treasure the Word of God. The Creator of the universe wrote it for you. So now let's look at that repetition of be strong and courageous. And I know we've got a few minutes left, but I really want to hit this. This is so exciting what I found in this. Be strong and courageous. Why is it repeated three times? Was it because Joshua was kind of a timid, shy guy that, you know, he didn't really have any courage and he needed God to encourage him three times in three verses to be strong and courageous? Well, we know Joshua wasn't timid. He was brave. We looked at that last week. You know, when the Amalekites came, he just picked up and led an army into a sword battle. He didn't question. He didn't doubt. He jumped in. And when the other spies, the 10 other spies other than Caleb, came back with a negative report, he stood against them. He said, "No, we can take this land. Let's go." He was not weak and timid. He was brave. So why did God tell him to be strong and courageous? Why would he do that? Well, God mentions it three times because there's different kinds of courage. There's different kinds of courage. You know, there's one type of courage where if, and many young people, especially young teenagers, have this courage. It is kind of a courage that says, "I don't care about my body. I can do this. I can jump in. I can jump off a waterfall fearlessly." Or if you see someone has fallen through ice, you jump at the spur of the moment, not considering or not caring for your own physical body, but you're going to go and save someone. That's courage. That's courage in knowing what can be done and what needs to be done right now. Well, then there's another kind of courage. This courage is a more measured courage. It's the standing up against injustice. It's standing against things when the rest of the world is saying, "It's okay." It takes courage. It's a more measured courage because you have to think about it. It's a moral courage. It's standing against injustice. It's standing against things that are wrong morally. When everyone else is saying it's okay, that takes courage. So there's two kinds of courage there. And Joshua, we see, the first time we see, be strong and courageous, actually in verse 6, "Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them." This is courage in the flesh, courage in strength, because he was going to have to lead armies into battle. And it required some very quick decisions, saying, "Well, I don't care about my body. I'm going to put it on the line because this needs to be done. It's obvious that there will be courage required to inherit the land. God wasn't just going to give them the land. They had to go and fight for it. That took courage. That took boldness. There would be loss of life. There would be physical danger. And God was saying to Joshua, be strong and courageous because there's physical danger ahead. That was obvious. The next time we see, though, the phrase in verse 7, and as we looked at, this could be called moral courage. This could be standing up for what is right, standing firm, standing against the face of potential calls for compromise. Well, what if we negotiated with the Canaanites? You know, maybe we could get away with not having to fight them. He was told by God to hold on to the book of the law. Do not budge. Do not move to the left or to the right. Do not give an inch. The book of the law is your guideline. This is moral courage, and it is required of us as well in our families. When our families and friends come to us and say, you're a little too radical. Do you really believe that? Are you sure? They come against you. They challenge you. They threaten you. And it takes courage. It takes courage not to compromise your belief, not to compromise what you know in your heart and what the Word of God says is to be true. Now, in the world today, the word compromise is so popular. But it is the downfall of many nations. It is the downfall of many churches. Anytime we compromise on the Word of God and say, well, if we just gave a little bit here, we could see a lot more people, you know, coming to church. We could see a lot more people enjoying the message or enjoying what we do. It's make it more acceptable. Let's compromise a little bit. Be strong and courageous. Do not compromise. Make a moral standpoint and stand by it. Stand on the Word of God. And then the final, be strong and courageous, is found in verse 9. Verse 9 says, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is a different kind of courage. I didn't mention this earlier. This is a different kind of courage. This is courage of the inner man. Do not be discouraged. This is the inner man when he is alone. The coach John Wooden says, the true test of a man's character is what he does when no one is watching. So Joshua could make a stand and say, let's go and fight the enemy. That took one type of courage. Then he could say, well, this is the word of God. This is the law. We've got to stand by it. And as a leader, he could show courage. He could show moral courage. He could show physical courage. But when he was alone in his tent, when he was alone in the tent of meeting with God, where was his inner courage? How was he when he was on his own? In life, it's so easy to get discouraged. We just got to turn on the evening news and just see of the death and mayhem and everything seeming to fall apart. Depression in our society is at epidemic levels. We need to have courage in the inner man. But you know, we have a promise. We have a promise that transcends all of the bad news of the world. Jesus, in his parting words that I read earlier, after he commissioned all Christians, said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So God says he'd be with Joshua. Jesus said, I'm going to be with you too. So living a life of faith, it demands courage. We need to have moral courage. We need to be able to say, that is wrong, and I do not agree with that. This is what the Word of God says. That takes moral courage. But also, I join and say, do not be discouraged in your inner man. Trust in God, because Jesus, as he said, I am with you always. So as we end, the directions that God gave Joshua not to compromise, to stand firm, those are promises. Those are promises to give him success and to make him prosperous. We need those instructions. We need to apply them to our daily lives. Stand on the word of God. Live lives in order to see blessings and success. Now, I'm not talking about financial blessings. I'm talking about eternal blessings. I'm talking about blessings in the inner man. Knowing the peace of God in your life in day-to-day walk with God. Knowing the presence of God alongside you going through the dark valleys. That is a blessing that surpasses any amount of money that you can get. When we think of God's blessings, we tend to think in our Western mindset, well, where's the money in my bank account? God says, no, my blessings to you is in the inner man. The strength that God gives you to encounter the difficulties of life. Because you're going to need strength in this life to come and the days ahead. We're going to need strength. We need to be obedient to make a stand when it's called for moral courage. God's word is full of promises. And that's the wonderful thing, is we can stand on those promises of God. That's why meditate on the promises of God. Meditate on the word of God. Allow them to become part of your life, applying these promises to our lives. A life of faith calls for courage because the battle ahead is a protracted battle. It's not a short-term battle. You know, Joshua, he was facing going into the promised land. The Lord didn't say to them, I'm going to wipe out everybody in front of you tomorrow and you can just walk in there. No, it was a protracted battle. It took years. And the battle that you and I begin when we become Christians and make decisions, make the decision to make Jesus Christ Lord of our lives, is a battle that will last the rest of our lives here on earth. Because our enemy, Satan and his demons, are out to steal, kill, and destroy. Every minute of our lives, we may gain victory in one area of our life, and Satan's going to come and tempt us in another area. There's always going to be a battle to fight. It's a protracted battle. It's a long-term battle. But be strong and courageous. Meditate on the word of God, because victory is sure. Jesus Christ has won the victory. And if you're meditating on the word of God, you can meditate on the promises in the end of this book that Jesus has already won the victory and that he's coming again to take us to be with him. Stand firm. Be strong. Be of good courage, because the Lord our God will be with you wherever you go. That's a promise of the word of God that we need to stand on. I want to pray for you today. Many of you, and I don't think there's anybody here that's not facing some kind of challenge, some kind of battle, something that is a daunting task that lies ahead, an uncertainty maybe, a health issue. Maybe it is something that is in your family that you're struggling and wrestling with. Let's be strong and courageous, not to say, well, I'm just going to forget about that challenge. No, let's take it to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray together. And so I want to pray for you today. Whatever you're battling, whether it's potential for compromise, whether it's fear, whether it's struggles in your inner man, come forward. Let us pray together. Let us leave this place today knowing that we are walking in the boldness and the strength and the courage that God has given us. Because we cannot do it in our own strength. That is the key to all of this, my friends. We cannot do this in our own strength. God didn't say to Joshua, be strong and courageous and off you go. He said, no, I am with you. And he will be with you and me. He has promised in his word. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you so much that we are not alone, but that with you, we are always in the majority. And that you've called us to be strong and courageous morally. You've called us to be strong and courageous in our inner self. By your Holy Spirit, we are able to do that. We cannot do anything in our own strength. We are weak and we are prone to failure. And so, Lord, we commit to you our lives afresh this morning and say, make us strong and courageous. Go with us into the uncertain days tomorrow and the days that lie ahead. And Lord, as we commit to serve you here at Grace Point, I pray that you would